I would liken it to like winning American Idol, being center stage on a national level.
This is like the Super Bowl or the World Cup of wildlife art.
It's a duck stamp shirt. This is the duck stamp contest.
The Huffman brothers, all three of them, are tremendous artists. If there's more than one in the contest, it's a scary year.
I thought I had a pretty good year last year, but my blind dog sold more art than I did. I'm gonna have to win the contest to get my name back.
My artwork has a lot of glitter and rhinestones.
He breaks every rule of the contest.
Oh.
I wonder if the guy's ever actually seen a duck.
Everybody's a critic.
The duck stamp program is one of the best ideas the government has ever really had.
It's the Migratory Bird Hunting and Conservation Stamp, but it's commonly known as the duck stamp. The program generates $25 million a year.
Hunters are slowly declining, and generally that's the people that buy the stamp.
If we somehow lost the revenue associated with the duck stamp, 5 million acres of habitat would disappear.
A lot of people really liked my entry last year, not the judges.
I'm starting to get a little bit nervous.
Your painting is awesome.
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking no matter how you cut it.
Sometimes I think, why do you put yourself through this?
We'll begin the judging now with entry number one.
You just never know with the contest how things are gonna go. You're just kind of sitting there holding your breath the whole time.
If I win the contest, it'll change my entire career.
Please vote.
It's an American tradition.
There's something for everyone in this world, Craig, and that is the duck stamp contest. The Million Dollar Duck is a documentary put together by filmmaker Brian Golden Davis about the federal duck stamp contest. And there's a local connection to this documentary. We have with us on the line Adam Grimm. Adam's from Elyria, now living in Burbank, South Dakota, not the other Burbank.
Right.
Good morning, Adam. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Us. So you've painted ducks for how many years now? How long has that been going on for you?
Whoa. I don't even know if I've ever thought about that, really. I mean, I've loved to draw since I was a little kid, and I started drawing ducks probably when I was about 10, and so I'm 38 now, so that's more years than I care to talk about.
And there's enough ducks in the world to be different all the time? We know about three ducks that are around this northeast Ohio area, but what have you come to learn about ducks all of these years?
You know, when I was growing up, I was the exact same way, and I really didn't know more than a you're just a normal like Canada geese, mallards, maybe wood ducks. Beyond that, I hadn't seen much. And my dad and I were talking one time, and I was looking through a bird book and saying, you know, look, they show that these birds all go through this area. And I said, how come, you know, we're outside all the time, we've never seen any of these other kind of ducks? He said, well, you know, maybe if we went to a marsh or something, maybe we could see some. And so so we ended up, he also said, we could probably duck hunt some of those ducks because we like to hunt and we had never tried duck hunting. So we tried it. And I remember seeing some of my first different species of ducks for very first time, like a Drake redhead or a Drake red-breasted merganser. And this was not that far from my house. And I remember being really excited to see some of those different species. But, yeah, there's roughly 30 species of ducks that come through the area. And I'll tell you, I would never tire. I could paint ducks. If the market would support it, I would paint ducks nonstop. But, it's sometimes fun to do some other different things, too. But, ducks are on land. They're in the air. They're on the water. Different times of day, different, you know, areas of the country. So it's like the possibilities are endless for what you can do.
Adam, why Burbank, South Dakota? Is this a good place for ducks?
It actually is, yeah. We're right kind of in the heart of the Central Flyway. And there's four flyways in the United States, the Atlantic, Mississippi, the Central, and the Pacific. And all of the ducks that nest up north migrate through these flyways as they fly to the south. And if you're in a flyway, there's like a major concentration of birds. Ohio's actually kind of in between the Atlantic and the Mississippi. So while you get ducks there, it's not in numbers, generally speaking, like you would have if you were right in the heart of a flyway. But this area is actually really good for waterfowl, especially in the spring when I'm out photographing a lot. People ask why, and it's like, we uprooted our whole family from Ohio and moved out here where we didn't know anyone, we didn't have any family or friends out here, so it was really just for the ducks. But we've grown to really love it, the solitude and quietness of a country lifestyle. So
well, now you're going to become famous because you're part of a documentary. It'll be tonight on Animal Planet. It's been shown at some film festivals as well. It's called The Million Dollar Duck. It's about the Federal Duck Stamp Contest, which I guess you've entered for a number of years. In fact, you won back in 1999. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, and I've been, striving to win it ever since. It's amazing how much time you really invest in each year's entry. I spent about 2 to 2.5 months on a painting and also gathering reference. And so, you start adding that up year after year after year. It's like it's years worth of work that you're putting into trying to win that contest.
And
it's tough.
It didn't take as much to put this film together, but you now kind of have empathy for a filmmaker to see how they put something like this together. Talk about how you came to be one of the, quote, characters in this film.
Well, he just actually was going through a book that was written entitled The Wild Duck Chase, and that was really what inspired the film. When he learned more about this subculture, as he kind of put it, that was kind of quirky and interesting, and the people that were involved were very passionate. But the book highlighted a handful of artists, and I was one of the artists highlighted in the book because I was a past winner. And so he wanted to include me. And as he learned about different artists, he kind of decided which handful of people that he really wanted to feature. I think he interviewed a number of other artists and talked to some other artists, maybe filmed some of them doing some artwork as well. But he kind of zeroed in on us, myself and about 5 other people. And it really is funny that he was able to try to pick, out of the 200 people that are competing, trying to pick, a handful of artists that he was hoping maybe one might actually win, which the odds of is pretty remote. But, people have to tune in to see how it all goes.
Adam, the clip Bruce played to start the segment seemed to indicate there was a real sense of competition among you and the other folks. Is that how you look at it? Do you have any kind of relationship with these other artists?
Yeah, I'm friends with actually most of the other artists. I know all of the people in the film, but then I also know a lot of other artists. It's such a small group of people, it's almost impossible to not get to know a lot of the other artists. But it's very competitive, but at the same time, because everyone wants to win, but at the same time, it's a friendly competitiveness. It's not like, Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding in the Olympics, where they're breaking people's legs and, things like that. It's all friendly, type of sport. But, like I said, in the end, people, they're putting a lot of time and energy into this. They want to win. They're happy for other people when they do win. It's like I said in the film, a lot of people like my entry the one year, but not the judges. And it can be really hard to take, especially when you're hearing from your peers like, it was their favorite painting in the contest from so many different people. It was great to hear that and, feedback. And then the contest comes up and, you're feeling pretty good. Well, hey, maybe I've got a shot this year. And then you barely make it into the second round and barely get, decent score in the second round at all. It's hard to take. You got to have a pretty thick skin and you got to be willing to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and do it again the next year.
And this is all for getting you on a postage stamp, but and of course the title is Million Dollar Duck. Really, $1 million, or is that a?
Well, the program annually generates about $25 million. For the winning artist, it used to be said to be worth over $1 million, and it actually, I know for a fact, was at one time, but now it's not worth near that much, but it's still worth a substantial amount of money if you can win it. And so, you know, and it's not a postage stamp. It's actually a revenue stamp.
Okay.
It was started back in 1934 by Bing Darling, and it was designed to raise money for the National Wildlife Refuge System. Actually, the money that it raised became is what helped to spurn the beginning of the National Wildlife Refuge System. So, So really, we would not have any of the National Wildlife Refuges that we have around without the Federal Duck Stamp Program.
I'm looking at some of the artists that they have here, and I've seen the one that they show, the guy who uses found art. He uses sequins. It says here he even uses other contestants' photos, Craig. So there's a guy there that's kind of sort of bending the rules, I guess, or at least...
He's pushing the limits, no doubt. I mean, he's actually plagiarized off of other artists' works just to try to tweak them and stuff, which, you know, I mean, plagiarism in my book is never okay, right, even, you know, for any reason. But, the guy's definitely in violation of a number of rules. He uses copyrighted logos, which is other people's copyrighted artwork, intellectual property, in his own designs, which, you know, just that alone should kind of get it disqualified, because if it were to win, they would have real problems with having that on a government-issued stamp. So, the people that work there are always amused, and they kind of feel like, well, it won't win, so, you know, and it's interesting, so we're just going to leave it in. It's kind of the mindset. But he's, and that was really what Tim's point was in the film. You'll see when he was talking about it is, you know, I don't know why it's allowed in, and he wrote that online, and this guy saw it, and so it became like the abstract guy gets Rob McBroom gets really aggravated that he would say such a thing, and so he decides to like target this guy by, like I said, plagiarizing his artwork and all this. So it's this kind of silly rivalry, and it's really one-sided. Tim doesn't have anything against the guy, but the guy definitely is targeting Tim and, you know, doing all kind of weird stuff with his art. So,
well, you know, you are artists. I mean, there's a certain different art, obviously, for wildlife, and there's a truism to it as well. You try to put yourself, there's always a style, I guess, to it. So an artist always created to try to challenge different things. When you're going to sit down, and I suppose as we're going to find out, or you mentioned off air to me, this particular contest is from a previous year, because it takes a while for a film to get into shape. Are you involved in this contest every year, or do you, is it just if you get inspired to do something for it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I'm eligible, which means if I am not the current winner, right? If you win, you have to sit out for 3 years. So the first time I won, I had to sit out for 3 years. But then I've entered every year since, and you know, it's just because you win it once doesn't mean you're going to ever win it again. I mean, there's lots of people who have won it once. There's very few who have ever won it more than once. It was like less than a dozen people. So, and that's always kind of the goal, because if you can win it a second time, you kind of prove like it wasn't a completely freak thing that you won the first time. So I think everyone's goal is to win it. And if you've won it once, your goal is to win it again. And if you've won it two times, your goal is to win it a third time, and so on. But you know, it's, yeah, I mean, you know, you're really becoming part of history if you can win that contest. And, you know, of course, you know, the financial aspect of it is beneficial, you know, to your career and everything. So, you know, I mean, like I said, lots of people want to win, but only one can win a year, and that's not very many when you're talking that number of people. And the past years that I have competed, I mean, I've come in, you know, fourth, fifth, a number of times. I even got second place 1 year. I can tell you, you don't get anything for second place. So,
You're the first loser, as they say, right?
You're the first loser. I mean, it's great, and it's great to be able to tell people I came in second. You know, and I was actually that year. I was actually ahead of the guy at the end of the second round. I was in first place at the end of the second round, but they always have a third round. And at the end of the third round, I fell 1 point shy of him, and that's it. And you know, you might as well have come in eighth or ninth or tenth, or you know, it doesn't. It's like once you're not first, it doesn't really matter.
Right, I see.
Yeah, well,
we're going to be able.
It might hurt a little more, but
right. Right. Do you want to get blown out, or do you want to lose in triple overtime? That's
the
same thing.
Yeah.
It's called The Million Dollar Duck. It goes on. It's on tonight on Animal Planet at 9 o'clock, and you'll get to see Adam featured as one of the participants in the federal duck stamp contest that takes place every year. Now, Adam, besides doing this duck stuff, how do you keep busy? What's your life like in South Dakota these days?
Well, I have four little kids. So between my wife and I and our four little kids and, you know, and then all the stuff that we do around the area here, I mean, we are kept plenty busy. I mean, my girls, they like playing sports and, you know, boys are just busy by their nature. So, but, you know, I enjoy hunting and, you know, going hiking and stuff with the kids and exploring. My dad comes out every fall and we go hunting and, you know, I've really got to give so much credit to my parents for instilling love of nature, love of family. I would definitely not be where I am today without their influence.
Doing a lot of wildlife photography and art and things like that?
Yeah. Well, every spring I go photographing, and I put a lot of time in to, I mean, pretty much every sunny day, morning and evening, I'm out photographing. And all my reference comes from what I'm able to get from those photos in this immediate area, really. I do travel a little bit sometimes for photo reference, but you know, it's a lot when you're kind of always needed around because four little kids is a lot of work for my wife. So I like to be here as much as I can to help her with stuff, but you know, and if it wasn't for her, I couldn't do what I'm doing either, because yeah, she really is kind of the glue that keeps things running and operating as I'm, you know, out sitting in a marsh or sitting in my studio painting pictures, you know, pretty pictures of ducks, I guess you could say. Right. So, yeah.
Our guest has been Adam Grimm. He's a native of Elyria and now lives in Burbank, South Dakota. You'll see him tonight featured in the documentary called The Million Dollar Duck. It'll be on Animal Planet tonight at 9. Adam, thanks for sharing the time with us this morning, and good luck. We'll watch the movie tonight and see how things turn out for you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Yes, everyone set your DVRs. I haven't met anyone yet who has not enjoyed the film.
Sounds great. Thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate it.